do find your way to Luke chapter 12 to start with. Like I say, we'll be going around several passages. They're actually going to come up on the screen behind me. I'm aware that it might just be quite tricky for you to flick the whole time. The print up there is probably a bit small, so you might prefer to have it. But however you like it, hopefully you'll be able to see. I realise this is a reasonably young church. And so in many ways, the idea of talking about retirement can seem like a funny one. In fact, somebody reminded me not so long ago that you preach to people who aren't dead about death, and so you should preach to people who aren't retired about retirement. It's a necessary thing to do. And while we might be quite a young church, we're a mixed church. There are people who are part of this church family who are indeed retired. And the fact is, if you live long enough, you will probably retire, given the way our society works. And so actually, it's something that it's important to think about. And chances are, if you started your career, at some point, somebody in wherever you work has said, do you want to pay into a pension? You should pay into a pension. And if you read any of the sort of financial things, they say you need to do that sooner rather than later. You need to get ready for your retirement. Now, that is certainly true financially, but it is also true in terms of thinking about what it is and what you're going to do with it should you get there. It needs to be thought about. The thing is, retirement is not in the Bible. Retirement is not in the Bible. The closest you get is instructions in the book of Numbers for the Levites, for the priests. And it says there that once they reach the age of 50, they have to stop doing their regular duties at God's meeting tent. And even then, actually, the ones who get to 50 plus, they're still allowed to help all the other ones who are still working there. That's the closest you get. Retirement, as we know it, is actually a very recent thing. It's usually traced back to the first state pension, which was introduced in Germany in the 1880s. And it wasn't really a common thing in this country until, you know, sort of the mid part of the 20th century, sort of 1940s, 1950s. Retirement, as we know it, is quite a new thing. Now, none of that means that you shouldn't retire or shouldn't think about retiring. Actually, the way society works is quite difficult not to retire at some point. But it does mean that we should give some serious thought to what retirement is about and what you might do with it, what it's for. And although retirement as we know it is not in the Bible, that doesn't mean that Scripture has nothing to say to all the things that might go into it. Actually, the principles that Scripture lays down for us when it comes to work and life and aspirations and wealth and old age and Christian living and Christian maturity, well, those sorts of things are more than enough to start helping us put together a Christian way of thinking about and a Christian way of going about retirement as we know it. A retirement, in fact, that honours God and serves God. I want to take us through three big principles this afternoon. There's doubtless more that you can say, but three things to start thinking about. And the first one is this. It comes from Luke chapter 12. First key thing, retirement is not heaven. Retirement is not heaven. I read a really interesting book a few years ago called Leisureville, Adventures in a World Without Children. It's about a big gated retirement community in Florida, sort of huge place, lots of sort of retirement homes. And the author got really curious when his neighbours, who'd been very busy members of his community, suddenly upped and sold their house and moved themselves out to this retirement community in the middle of Florida. It's called Leisureville because when he went to visit this community, he discovered that really it's basically set up like a never-ending holiday for the retired. You can only live there if you're, I don't know, like 55 plus. And it's in sunny Florida, and the people who live there spend their days relaxing and golfing and eating out and socializing and being members of various hobby clubs. And the author went to visit his ex-neighbours and he asked them about their new life. And they said this: "The only thing I worry about these days is my daily golf game. It's a totally different way of life. It's fun, just plain fun. And why not have a good time? We're retired and we have enough money to live here. We've worked hard for this." Now, in one sense, there's something very American about that. We don't tend to do sort of massive gated communities in this country. For one thing, we don't have the space or the weather, mostly. But actually, that sort of thing, it's not too different from the sort of dream that you see set out in a saga magazine or a daytime life insurance advert. Work hard now, build up a nice big pension pot, and then retire at age 65, or maybe a bit earlier than that if you're lucky, to a comfortable life of relaxing and holidays and low-impact sports and hobbies, a few days with the grandchildren here and there. You've worked hard for 40 years, and your reward now is a 25-year holiday if you're lucky. Except that when you think about that, it is basically a substitute for heaven. In a society that is skeptical about God and skeptical about his promises, that is your reward. Here is the thing, finally, given that your life will go on and you will get a bit older, here is the thing to aspire to. But Jesus gives us a rather different picture. Find your way to Luke 12 if you're not there already. Jesus is teaching, but there's a family inheritance dispute going on. And eventually one of the guys who's involved just can't bear it anymore. And in the middle of Jesus' teaching, he sort of blurts out, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." And Jesus says, "Take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he tells them a story. The guy, he's doing pretty well for himself. He's got a farming business. And in fact, his farming business is already obviously doing pretty well, but he has a great year. And he decides, right, okay, I've got this massive surplus here. I'm going to tear down all my old storehouses and I'm going to build some bigger ones. And then he says, once that's done, I'm going to be set. And he plans to settle down. He's got this massive surplus, his pension pot, if you like, and he plans to settle down now and he's just going to enjoy the good life. Problem is, Jesus says, he's forgotten about God. He's forgotten about the uncertainty of life. He's forgotten about eternity. And verse 20 is chilling, really. God says, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And if that is chilling, the verse that follows Jesus' summary is even more haunting. Jesus says, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Jesus' point here is that success and failure in life cannot be measured in terms of wealth and comfort. Because there is a reality beyond what you can see and smell and taste and touch right now. And one day, not only that, but you will stand before God and you will give account of yourself, give account of your life and the way you've lived and the things you've had and how you've used them. And all the things we've enjoyed and the wealth and the collections we've accumulated and the experiences we've had, they just won't cut it. The things that we value now and sort of hold up, if you like, as status symbols now, just won't have weight. What will matter on that day will be whether we have been rich towards God. Being rich towards God here in this, what Jesus says, it's contrasted with storing up wealth for ourselves. In the context of this parable, to be rich towards God means to live with God and eternity in mind. It's about whether we have given ourselves and our stuff to his honour, and I think you can understand that in very broad terms, or whether we have given ourselves and our stuff to, I guess, our honour. Sharing in his eternal joy, in his rich future, is tied up with our attitude to him. Whether we have served him and served his Saviour, whether we have invested in his heaven, or whether we've served ourselves. It's very stark, but it needs to be reckoned with. There is an end coming. There is a reckoning coming. And we cannot keep the stuff that we've stored up. There is a rich eternity for those who are rich towards God, but there is terrible loss if we store up stuff for ourselves now. And the question is then, whether you are retired or whether you're close or whether you're a long way off, how are those big realities going to affect your retirement? Whether you're in it or whether you're planning for it. Now, there is nothing wrong with, under God, preparing for the future, being responsible for having an income so that you can live. The man's problems here are not that he builds bigger storehouses, but his plans, but the mindset that creates those plans. I want to go further than that. I want to say, actually, there is nothing wrong with leisure and enjoying the world that God has made. He gives us good gifts, even in a fallen world. We live in lots of ways under his common grace, as it's sometimes called. But to build our lives around those things in retirement, or to set your sights on them as your reward for the end of your working life, is a sin. And it's eternally dangerous, Jesus says. A saga-style retirement must not be the goal of our lives. We may retire at 65, or if you're younger, it may be going up to 68 or 70. Maybe you'll be lucky enough for that to come earlier. And it's quite possible that you might live another 20 or 30 or 40 years after that. And in light of heaven and what God says about our lives, to spend those years relaxing and pleasing ourselves, quite frankly, it is a waste of a quarter of our lives. And we will have to give account for those years. Jesus gives us different priorities, a bigger vision, if you like, and something, quite frankly, which is much better. We must not live for wealth and comfort and health and leisure. Our society tells us to be ready for the future by filling up a pension fund to prepare our reward, if you like. Jesus tells us to be ready for the future by being rich towards God, who is preparing an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and unfading and kept for you. Retirement is not heaven. God has prepared heaven for you. But if retirement then shouldn't be about a sort of well-earned rest after decades of work, what should you do with it? What is it meant to be about? Second big principle, and perhaps a more positive one, we retire from jobs, but not from work. We retire from jobs, but not from work. Find your way to Genesis chapter 1, right at the start of your Bibles. This is a section of the Bible we've looked at repeatedly during this series, so hopefully you'll be reasonably familiar. The opening chapters of Genesis, they're foundational for understanding all sorts of things about life, but they are also foundational for understanding work. And you start the Bible with a God who works. God is a working God. And chapter 1, verse 26, we read a few moments ago, he makes human beings in his image. And to be made in God's image, it's a big, wonderful, multifaceted thing. But included in that image is the idea that we work. Actually, a vital part of being made in the image of God is that we work in his world. And verse 28, you get that and begin to unpack. Verse 28, he sets human beings to filling and to subduing, to ruling his world as his stewards, if you like. To taking his world and developing it and cultivating it and caring for it. To taking the world and working in it for the good of one another and for the glory of God. And one way or another, we've already said this, but that covers all sorts of things. It certainly includes your jobs, but it includes all sorts of other things as well. One writer, we had this a couple of weeks ago, one writer has defined work this way. He says it is the expenditure of energy, manual or mental or both, in the service of others, which brings fulfillment to the worker, benefit to the community, and glory to God. Which means then that there is nothing in the Bible's description of work that means that it's something that we don't or that we can't do when we get to retirement age. The Bible doesn't give us any reason to think that we stop working at a certain point in our lives. Verse 31, work is part of what all comes under that heading of it was very good. And reaching retirement age doesn't suddenly stop that being true. And that means that even if you've retired from your occupation or from a job, we should continue to expend ourselves, to seek ways to serve others, to contribute to God's world. In fact, actually, when you think about it, retiring from your job could actually give you a whole new sort of flexibility for that sort of thing. A whole new range of ways to explore doing that. It can take all sorts of forms, just to maybe get you thinking. You could end up volunteering in some sort of capacity. It might mean taking up more family responsibility, perhaps either with older relatives or with younger relatives. It could mean more hospitality of some kind. It could mean visiting people or phoning them or writing to them to help them and to encourage them. Surely involves active and intentional prayer for people. Might mean involving yourself more in the work of the church or perhaps some organization that serves the gospel elsewhere in the world. Sometimes it might even mean taking up a different job. And there are countless sorts of ways, plenty of other ways, that this sort of thing could come out in retirement. I was reading an article by somebody who was thinking these sorts of things through, and they wrote this. What I want to do in my retirement, and what I've already started doing, is to give away the time that I used to charge for. I want to manage my life so that I can say yes to the opportunities to help someone else. So instead of retiring, I'm planning on switching from managing my investments to dispersing my abundance to serve somebody else. This idea did not originate with me. This is what the Apostle Paul said to the Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, those things said, we've got to remember that just as with everything else to do with work, work is spoiled and frustrated by the fall and by sin. And actually work in the retirement era of life, if you like, is not immune from that in any way. It comes with its own particular brand of fall-related frustrations. Now, retirement for us is often one way or another tied up with age and with health. We may retire because of poor health. We may well suffer it in retirement in ways that we've not been used to before. There is the simple fact of aging, that is simply your body not being able to do what it used to do. Lower energy reserves than you're used to having. We may face frailty. You might face some loss of your faculties in one way or another, whether that's eyesight or hearing or mental capacity or something else. In fact, actually, in this country, we live in a very sort of youth-oriented culture where in some cases, actually, it's just quite hard to participate in various facets of society just because, well, quite frankly, we can be a bit ageist. And all of those things may well mean, actually, you sort of have to slow down, that we're limited in ways that we didn't used to be. And actually, it's right that we adjust our work according to our circumstances. When you think about across a lifetime what your work looks like, it shifts according to your circumstances. The way you work when you're 22 is very different to the way that you work when you're 35 and you've got a bunch of kids. And it's very different again when you get to another stage of life and there are teenagers. It's different if you're single. It's different if you're married. That's just the fact of it, and it is different when you're older. But even with limitations and frustrations, it is very rare that we can't be of any service to anyone. Very rare that we can't make any contribution to the world. We retire from work, from jobs, but not from work. Work, in fact, has everything to do with all of us, regardless of your age, regardless of your life stage. If you have retired, keep actively looking for your way to play your part in God's world, to play your part amongst his people. Keep using the life and the energy and the resources that he has given you today for his honor. If you are planning retirement, or even if you are a long way off, be sure to let the Bible shape the way you think about your work and the way you think about what it will look like to work when you're retired. You were made to work by a working God, and that will not change when you get to 65. We retire from jobs, but not from work. And that really plays into then to the third big principle, because we retire from jobs, but not from work, and also we retire from jobs, but not from discipleship. Find your way to Philippians chapter 1. We retire from jobs, but not from discipleship. You see, really, the Bible knows nothing of retirement when it comes to our faith and our witness, to our place in the church family of God's people. There is no age limit when it comes to Christian growth and Christian discipleship. Paul is, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is writing to a church in a place called Philippi. And he says, verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day, that is when they first came to know Christ, until now. And I pray with joy, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, this is a very positive start to a letter, really. Paul is really encouraged by these Christians. He's grateful to God for the way these Christians are serving and the way they're growing up in their faith. And look at the time scale in verse 6. God is at work and God is using them, not on a temporary basis, not even on a long-term contract. In fact, it is a lifelong thing. He says, God will be busy with you until Christ comes back. As Christian believers, we are God's works in progress for the whole of our lives. Christian discipleship, Christian growth and service, Christian growing in God's grace will never, ever stop this side of the grave. You should expect, you should seek to be active Christian followers of Christ all the way to the end. Always prayerfully seeking his work in us to grow us in his grace, to help us to bear witness for Christ, to serve one another in all sorts of ways. In the purposes of God, actually, you never retire. You are never past your sell-by date. Your spiritual gifts do not get withdrawn when you get to 65. Now, how those sorts of things happen and what that sort of thing looks like will change as our situations change. We've already said that retirement is often tied up with old age and ill health. And that means actually the way that you serve in the church, for example, will shift as life goes on. It will change according to your strength and capacity and family situations and a whole bunch of other things. But God is determined to keep working in you. God is determined to keep using you. God is determined to keep growing you. I remember once being in a church meeting some years ago in another church, and the minister was talking about all the opportunities and all the challenges that faced that particular congregation at the time. As the meeting went on, an elderly lady stood up. And she said something along the lines of, we older ones, we've done our part. Really, now it's time for you younger ones to get on and do your part. Now, she said that with good intentions. And there is a great deal of grace that goes with recognizing circumstances and handing on certain batons. But there is a sense in which she was wrong. If you've retired, I really hope that you don't think you've retired from here. God is still at work in you. The rest of us still need you. You belong. You are part of the body of Christ and you matter. We need your service and we need your prayers. We need your testimony to the faithfulness of God. And we will need them for all the years that God gives you, whether you get 3 or whether you get 30 or whether you get 60 more. And actually, in the design of God, without putting too fine a point on it, you need the rest of us. Ephesians 4 says that actually every part of the church body is meant to build the whole. And there are some great examples when you work your way through the Bible. Psalm 71, the writer prays that in his old age he will be able to declare God's power to the next generation. In Titus chapter 2, Paul calls on older women to model the Christian life and to train the younger women. And he talks to the older men and he says that you should still be growing in Christian maturity and in faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talks about Timothy's heritage. And he reminds him of where he learned the faith from. And he learned it from his mother and his grandmother. In fact, actually, retiring might give us more flexibility. I don't say it will, but it might give us more space and flexibility for those sorts of things. Maybe picking up some sort of service in the church in some way that you've not been involved in before. Perhaps caring for people in need in a new way. Perhaps having additional time to phone or visit someone. More time for prayer. More time to dig into the scriptures. There's a biography of a little-known pastor who was a minister in French Canada back in the 1940s and 50s, and his much better-known son wrote a biography of him. And this son said that as he was going through his father's diaries from the last few years of his life, it was interesting how they changed. The guy had retired from full-time sort of paid Christian ministry by that point, and in fact his wife had died as well. And the diary entries from that part of his life, they were much longer than the ones from earlier on. He'd started taking more detailed notes from his Bible readings. Instead of just making some observations on whatever he'd been reading, he actually started to write down much longer attempts to work out exactly what was going on in the detail. He was really digging into the scriptures in a way that he'd not had time for previously. And scattered through his diaries, there were these little notes to self. Comments like, "Develop as a senior a prayer ministry. God has given you time for it." When it comes to Christian discipleship, retirement does not mean stopping. Instead, it's a new stage of life, where we continue to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, where we continue to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Whether you are retired now or whether, again, you are miles from it, plan under God as much as we can plan the future to keep going right to the end. Retirement is not heaven. We retire from jobs, but not from work, and not from discipleship. Hunger for something more than to take life easy and to eat and drink and be merry. Plan to run all the way to the end. Because for those who fight the good fight and keep the faith and finish the race, there is in store the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to all who have longed for his appearing. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would, in all our life, help us to keep ourselves fixed on Christ and to what he holds out to us in the gospel, in his death and resurrection. Keep us from the idolatries of our time and our society. Help us, we ask, as we follow Christ, to give ourselves to him, to give every drop of the lives that you have given us to your honor. Whether we're close to retirement, whether we're a long way from it, we pray that you might give us grace to use the lives that you have given us well. Help us to hunger for the crown of righteousness, for the unfading inheritance that you have prepared. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.